his prayers said in feeling much better, but suffering exactly as much, and perhaps a little more, he leaned against the wood of the bough and began mechanically to work the fingers of his left hand. The sun was hot now, although the breeze was rising gently. "I had better rebait that little line out over the stern," he said. "If the fish decides to stay another night, I will need to eat again. The water is low in the bottle. I don't think I can get anything but a dolphin here. But if I eat him fresh enough, he won't be bad. I wish a flying fish would come on board tonight, but I have no light to attract them. A flying fish is excellent to eat raw, and I would not have to cut him up. I must save all my strength now. Christ, I did not know he was so big. I'll kill him, though," he said, "in all his greatness and his glory. Although it is unjust," he thought, "but I will show him what a man can do and what a man endures." "I told the boy I was a strange old man," he said. "Now is when I must prove it." The thousand times that he had proved it meant nothing. Now he was proving it again. Each time was a new time, and he never thought about the past when he was doing it. "I wish he'd sleep, and I could sleep and dream about the lions," he thought. "Why are the lions the main thing that is left? Don't think, old man," he said to himself. "Rest gently now against the wood and think of nothing. He is working. Work as little as you can." It was getting into the afternoon, and the boat still moved slowly and steadily. But there was an added drag now from the easterly breeze, and the old man rowed gently with the small sea, and the hurt of the cord across his back came to him easily and smoothly. Once in the afternoon, the line started to rise again, but the fish only continued to swim at a slightly higher level. The sun was on the old man's left arm and shoulder and on his back, so he knew the fish had turned east of north. Now that he'd seen him once, he could picture the fish swimming in the water with his purple pectoral fins set wide as wings and the great erect tail slicing through the dark. "I wonder how much he sees at that depth," the old man thought. "His eye is huge, and a horse with much less eye can see in the dark. Once I could see quite well in the dark. Not in the absolute dark, but almost as a cat sees." The sun and his steady movement of his fingers had uncramped his left hand now completely, and he began to shift more of the strain to it, and he shrugged the muscles of his back to shift the hurt of the cord a little. "If you're not tired, fish," he said aloud, "you must be very strange." He felt very tired now, and he knew the night would come soon, and he tried to think of other things. He thought of the big leagues. To him they were the Gran Ligas, and he knew that the Yankees of New York were playing the Tigres of Detroit. "This is the second day now that I do not know the result of the juegos," he thought. "But I must have confidence, and I must be worthy of the great DiMaggio, who does all things perfectly, even with the pain of the bone spur in his heel." "What is a bone spur?" he asked himself. "Una espuela de hueso. We do not have them. Can it be as painful as the spur of a fighting cock in one's heel? I do not think I could endure that, or the loss of the eye and of both eyes, and continue to fight as the fighting cocks do. Man is not much beside the great birds and beasts. Still, I would rather be that beast down there in the darkness of the sea. Unless sharks come," he said aloud. "If sharks come, God pity him and me." "Do you believe the great DiMaggio would stay with the fish as long as I will stay with this one?" he thought. "I am sure he would, and more, since he is young and strong. Also, his father was a fisherman. But would the bone spur hurt him too much?" "I do not know," he said aloud. "I never had a bone spur.